What was it that made this man the political legend for good and ill that he became?
There can be no stable and enduring peace without the participation of the People's Republic of China and its 750 million people.
I welcome this kind of examination because people have got to know whether or not their president's a crook. Well, I'm not a crook.
Richard Milhouse Nixon, who had perhaps the perfect apprenticeship to be president, but it took him a while to get there. He ran for president three times, lost once, and then won twice in 1968 and 1972. He resigned once, in shame after Watergate, in 1974. But the Nixon we know from history was forged in the fire of being number two to this man.
We are summoned by this honored and historic ceremony to witness more than the act of one citizen swearing his oath of service in the presence of his God. We are called as a people to give testimony in the sight of the world to our faith that the future shall belong to the free.
By the time Dwight David Eisenhower became president of the United States, he had already saved the free world as commander-in-chief of the Allied forces that defeated Germany in World War II. Richard Nixon was Ike's vice president for 8 years. In many ways, they embody the divisions within the Republican Party that are still alive today. Eisenhower, the legend, and Nixon, the virtual unknown running mate. Here's how America saw them.
General Eisenhower relaxes at a mountain retreat in Colorado, where he takes time out for a little fishing and also to talk campaign strategy with his youthful running mate, Senator Nixon.
That newsreel from 1952. Nixon never did learn to fish. He was eventually able to play golf with the golf fanatic president, but Nixon learned to outplay Ike in his political acumen. It's a fascinating story of contrasts and demons told in the new book, Ike and Dick, Portrait of a Strange Political Marriage. The author, Jeffrey Frank, joins us in the studio. Jeffrey Frank, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
So let's talk about the pairings of president and vice president that we have known in my lifetime anyway. You've got Reagan-Bush. You've got Bush-Cheney. You've got Obama-Biden right now. You've got Kennedy-Johnson. When I looked at the title of this book, it hit me like a bolt of lightning. Ike and Dick, they have to be the most bizarre pair of all.
You left out Bush-Quayle as, another strange pairing. But what was so different about this one was who they were. When Eisenhower picked Nixon, he was a national hero of the sort we just don't have anymore. He was a five-star general. We don't have any five-star generals now. And Nixon was a 39-year-old Orange County senator who was best known for being a sort of very, very accomplished red hunter. And so it was a very interesting and unique pairing. And then as time showed, they actually had more in common than you might think and also less in common than you might think.
So Nixon began with General Eisenhower in a position of just total adulation, having to find his own identity.
He was in the shadow of Eisenhower from the first moment he was picked. Eisenhower was a sort of embodiment of honesty and decency in government. And Nixon, within a month after the campaign started, Nixon was faced with what appeared to be a scandal. It wasn't really a scandal, but it was a huge embarrassment to Eisenhower in the campaign.
And Nixon was plagued throughout the time he was vice president that Eisenhower either didn't like him or was going to throw him off the ticket or he was going to be sidelined for one thing or another.
Yeah. It was, in some ways, it was 8 years or at least 5 years by the time Eisenhower began his second term. I guess Nixon had tenure. But it was four or 5 years of basically unrelieved anxiety. Eisenhower wanted him gone in 1952. There's no question about it. Nixon fought back and managed to stay on the ticket. And in 1956, even though Nixon had done a pretty good job for Eisenhower, he was loyal, he made foreign trips, he was a good representative, he was a good student, he contributed to the government. But even so, Eisenhower wanted to replace him on the ticket. He had other people in mind. Even Nixon's friend, the Republican National Chairman, a man named Leonard Hall, had wanted to put a Democratic governor in Nixon's place. So he was – and Nixon, again, had to fight back, had to outmaneuver the five-star general. Nixon had been a lieutenant, but he was better at political combat than the general was.
Eisenhower wanted him off the ticket, but on any level, was Eisenhower a mentor to Richard Nixon? I mean, we played that fly fishing video there, which was actually something of a fiasco from Ike's point of view.
Yeah, he was. I mean, that was Eisenhower's really good deed for Nixon. He was very conscious of how unprepared Harry Truman was when Roosevelt died, and he really wanted Nixon or someone or whoever was his vice president, someone able to sort of step in if anything had happened to him. And he tried his best. He included Nixon in the meetings. If he was away, Nixon would chair the cabinet meeting. Nixon would chair the National Security Council meeting, which traditionally had been done by the Secretary of State. He sent Nixon on a worldwide trip within 6 months after he took office, and he gave Nixon the chance to meet an awful lot of people who vice presidents usually don't meet, including for example, the Emperor of Vietnam and so on. So in that sense, he was a mentor.
When Nixon ran for the White House on his own and lost to John F. Kennedy, but then won later on, how was Eisenhower's influence useful, important, interesting in those?
Yeah. When Nixon lost to Kennedy, Eisenhower was not very helpful. In fact, the most damaging thing in that whole campaign there were several damaging things, including Nixon's refusal to come to the aid of Martin Luther King Jr. But perhaps the most damaging statement that was made in the campaign was by Eisenhower. At the end of August, Nixon was sort of saying he was experienced. He was referring to the Eisenhower-Nixon administration. And a reporter asked Eisenhower, well, give me one important contribution that Vice President Nixon has made to your administration. And Eisenhower said, well, if you give me a week, I might think of one.
Oh, my God.
Who knows why he said it?
Eisenhower died as the 1968 campaign was getting going, and that gave Nixon an opportunity to express his gravitas in some sense.
It did. Eisenhower was actually – he was on his deathbed.
Right.
And that's a really interesting period, because by this time Nixon won the election in November. A month later, Nixon's daughter Julie married Ike's beloved grandson David. And so they were one family. And before that, Nixon had wanted Eisenhower's endorsement for the nomination. Eisenhower was always reluctant to give an endorsement to Nixon. But this time he, for various reasons, including the fact that his grandson was engaged to Julie Nixon, finally came through in July of 1968 before the convention.
A relationship that you write might have infuriated the general just a bit. Before we go, we think of Nixon as this paranoid, filled with anxiety, demons everywhere kind of character who brought Watergate on himself. I'm wondering if any of that personality, obviously it's much deeper than just one thing, but I'm wondering if any of that sense of Nixon comes from this self-esteem hit that he must have taken being vice president to General Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Yeah, the man who became president behaved in a very different way than the man who had been vice president. And I think it was the combination of having such power and being so insecure. That was part of his personality. That's a very deadly combination, insecurity and great power. And I think that's what did him in.
Jeffrey Frank, author of Ike and Dick, Portrait of a Strange Political Marriage, Dwight D. Eisenhower, and Richard Milhouse Nixon. Thanks so much.
Thank you, John.